We're going to call the Jobs Committee to order at the current time, right now. And we're going to get started and get out of here. Not so much that we can get coffee before session, but that we can just say that we're done. And I can talk a little bit about the pages. This is likely to be our last meeting. We may have some emergency that we have to do or cover up some mess up that the chairman did. But
Mr. Chairman, on that note, the Workman's Comp Advisory Board will have one more bill headed in our way. It has money in it, so expect that. Not my choice. But.
I suspect you and I will have a chat a little later without microphones. So I guess we will have one more, but I did want to thank the staff because they have been invaluable. Mr. Weeks, Ms. Shalene, Ms. Bechtel, our temporary LA, our temporary CA. He's been fabulous, and the Republican staff, and Shelley's not here, but I thanked them yesterday on personally, so he'll just have to live with that. And our pages have been great. They've gotten here earlier than us for our 8 o'clock meetings, which we really appreciate. Kyle is probably still fighting with snow or sleeping in or something. But he's been great, and Chloe has been fabulous, too. So we really appreciate the help that they've done here. I didn't realize, but apparently staff has people with higher pay grades than our pages have told the pages that they're supposed to go outside, around, and in. I early on, and if you're ever a chair, I highly recommend that you tell the pages that they can walk behind the testifier. It cuts down on a lot of noise and annoyance from on their part. So again, thank you very much. Thank you. We still have work to do as we go along. So with that, I am going to call House File 1268 up. This is the Angel Investment Tax Credit. We amended it, and we have to move it to Ways and Means. So I will make the motion that House File 1268, as amended, be passed and moved to Ways and Means. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Angel Investment Tax Credit is on its way. And we didn't do a whole lot of damage to it, even though we'll see if in 2 years, if the investors have finally figured out how to get outside the 694 loop. Because I do believe they need to get out to greater Minnesota. So, anyhow, with that, we'll move on to the Hmong Chamber of Commerce, House File 2731. There you go, Mahmoud.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning. Thank you. Members, I'm moving House File 2731 for to be laid over. What this is in my legislative district, I have a significant Hmong population, and the east side has gone through a transition. Back when I was growing up on the east side, it was had a lot of small businesses, storefronts that were full. Some are still there. Many have moved on. Good, bad, or indifferent, and moving on. We had a length of time that those storefronts were empty. a good length of time that they were empty. And then miraculously and fortunately, back in about 40 years ago, so back in the late 70s, early 80s, we as a country lived up to the promise that we would take care of the people that helped us in the Vietnam War. It just seems like yesterday to me. But miraculously, this particular community has been in my community for almost 40 years. I sometimes don't want to call them Hmong. I want to just call them Americans because they have now integrated into our community and our society and the process. The Hmong Chamber, we have a lot of Hmong families that start businesses up. And they kind of miss a couple of things here or there, whether it's the how to do a business plan, how to do the accounting, how to do a number of different things. And the chamber, the Hmong Chamber, has come to me asking for a blank appropriation to start a business assistance group focused on their community and stop some of the churn of somebody starting up a business, putting their whole life savings in, and getting the business up and running, and then finding that it's they missed something. And for that particular reason, they are not able to maintain the business, and they go out of business, and they lose all of their family savings, all their family assets. And I'm sure this is happening in other communities, ethnic communities in the state. So what I am looking to try and do, and I'll be honest, I'll try to do it in conference, is find some resources that the Senate and the House can agree on to help them start up a business advisory role for their community and focused on their community and done in their language. So with that, I would like to call on my testifiers to speak to this particular bill.
Good morning. Welcome, and please state your name and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and committees of the members of the committee. I just want to first off just say thank you so much for those words, Representative Mahoney, because they are very true. We are Americans of Hmong ethnicities, and we've made Minnesota our home. I've heard from businesses both within my community and outside talk about how the Hmong community has saved the east side from all the dying businesses that has been going on. But again, what we intend to do with this business training is help educate and help tool these entrepreneurs or current business owners with the proper set of skills to be able to effectively scale their business. And again, what we want to do with House File 2731 is ask for a appropriation of $250,000 so that we can provide a series of business development trainings over the next 3 years. The chamber was founded over 20 years ago, inspired by newly arrived Hmong refugees who wished to open up their own businesses but face countless barriers. A group of these individuals came together and created the chamber. Over the years, our members have helped other American business owners start their own businesses but have continually found this issue to arise with the lack of compliance and the lack of skill sets. The Hmong American community here is estimated to be some 8,123 strong, and that's according to the American Community Survey. In our work with our community, we know that the most urgent need among Hmong American business owners is business support for the first few years. In response to this need, the Chamber, we've put together a 15-week training program, which is currently funded by our own limited funds. The current cohort comprises of 8 students with a growing wait list, of whom currently we are unable to bring on due to the constraints. And with the file 2731, the appropriation would support around 30 more trainees throughout Minnesota. This program is designed for business owners who want to venture into new markets as well as aspiring entrepreneurs who are uncertain about how to get started. Our training program educates current and future students on everything they need to know, from topics about properly incorporating your business, access to capital, compliance with state and local laws, and how to run the operations. Our objective is to help the current and future entrepreneurs build their individual capacity to succeed in whatever market they decide to enter by equipping them with critical information in a linguistically and culturally sensitive environment. We hope that with this capacity building component in place, trainees will be positioned to succeed and therefore build their own personal wealth and create jobs. Our training is ideal for individuals such as Mr. Chia Yang, who is with me here today, who is a current business owner. And he shares with me why, and he will be sharing why he has decided to attend our training and the technical support he hopes to gain. And he'll you'll hear more from him in a little bit. Or Mr. Wang Yu Wu, who is an aspiring entrepreneur who hopes to open up a wine tasting lounge, but he doesn't know how to start, and he hopes to learn how to put together a business plan and present his vision in a compelling manner to his potential investors. Upon completion of this training program, the Hmong Chamber will pair both Mr. Yang and Mr. Wu with a mentor. Mr. Yang and Mr. Wu are just two examples of entrepreneur community members who will benefit from our training. As stated earlier, they are two individuals in the largest Asian ethnic group in Minnesota. Surprisingly, in this community, we estimate that there are no more than 50 Hmong American-owned businesses. According to the 2012 census data in Minnesota, for every 11 Minnesotans, there are one registered business. However, in the Hmong community, the ratio is even lower at 156 Hmong American Minnesotans for one registered business. This ratio is too low, and we know there are many who want to start their own business but require support of the chamber that we can provide through this business training. The critical information, technical assistance, and mentorship we provide through our training will help current and potential entrepreneurs navigate our complex systems and processes. In doing so, we intend to become a critical partner in building sustainable businesses, create more jobs, fostering a culture of self-sufficiency in our community. In closing, I ask that you support House File 2731. Minnesota will have a much more robust economy when those among us who wish to become business owners can do so in an informed and supported manner. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Please state your name and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and member of the committees. My name is Xie Yang, and I am the publisher of the annual Asian American Business Directory in Minnesota. I'm here today to give my testimony regarding funding for the Minnesota Hmong Chamber of Commerce's business training class and how it has impacted my life and the Hmong Americans in the community. One of the biggest challenges facing Hmong American business owners today is that they don't have the proper business training to structure and to successfully manage a small business beyond a small market stall. As a photojournalist for the Hmong American newspaper for the last 15 years, I have experienced and seen the hardships our community is struggling to survive. I have witnessed many small businesses closing due to financial hardships and the lack of resources to help them grow their businesses. My first interaction with the Minnesota Hmong Chamber of Commerce was in 2005 as a photojournalist for their quarterly newsletter. Even then, they were known as a trusted resource in the Hmong community for technical business advice and support. I came back to the Minnesota Hmong Chamber of Commerce when word quickly spread that they were starting a business development workshop. As a current student in that training program, I have learned invaluable advice for supporting my own business. In 2017, I began publishing the annual Asian American Business Directory as a vital resource for business owners and consumers from all communities to connect. In the 15-week workshop, I learned how to conduct market analysis for my business. With the support of the Minnesota Hmong Chamber, I now understand the need to expand the business directory online to reach an even wider market base. The tools I am learning in the course will not only help me, but also the businesses listed in my directory and their customers. The Minnesota Hmong Chamber continues to provide struggling Asian business owners with the essential tools needed to help educate them on how to grow and to sustain their businesses. I believe this funding is needed support for the Minnesota Hmong Chamber to continue their business workshops for small entrepreneurs and help them thrive and continue to the communities they live in. In conclusion, I want to thank members of the Senate for your time and your support. I hope we can all work together to make our community great for the future of our children. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other testifiers, Mr. Chair?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions from members? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Mahoney, sorry, and the testifiers. Thank you for being here. I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I think continuing to help entrepreneurs prosper and understand how to navigate successfully in the business world here is a great role for the chamber, and I'm sure you do it very well. But my question is, I'm a freshman. I don't know all the different programs Deed runs, but it seems like we've heard testimony about a lot of programs that provide support for entrepreneurs. So I'm not sure, you know, if it's possible for you to access those programs through the department or through other nonprofits, or why we're going this route, because I'm not sure it's a good precedent as a committee for us to start giving each group individual appropriations when I think there's already structures in place that, you know, have a lot of expertise in this. So if you could just talk about why, you know, if you tried to reach out to Deed or if you've tried to access some of these other programs that are out there. Thank
sure.
you.
Sure. Mr. Hart.
Thank you. Yes, there's other programs out there. However, you know, we believe that we best know how to serve our community, especially when it's difficult for a small shop owner at Hmong Village or Hmong Town to go into a big corporate conference room and get training from someone in a suit and tie. There just isn't a cultural connection there. And so the fact of the matter is the majority of our entrepreneurs aren't what you would typically call a business entrepreneur who wears a suit and wears a tie. They have passion. They have the time and a limited financial resource. However, what's lacking is the cultural aspect of how we can help bring their business plan, their business idea to fruition. And so that's really where, you know, through the chamber, we've really found our ability to relate and help our members with this training and really help them. You know, we cater our training right around our culture and our people. And if it's our culture and our people that we are going to market with our business, it would only make sense that we, you know, best serve them the way that we know how.
Representative Cosney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just kind of, are you guys part of the St. Paul Chamber, like a division of it, or
are we? We are members of theirs, but we are our own separate organization.
Okay. How many members do you have, Mr. Chair?
We're currently in our member drive right now, but we have had about 150 members.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Mahoney, and the testifiers. I'm from a small community who's following the footsteps of the Hmong community. We're roughly newer than the Hmong community, and I concur with everything that you're saying, that many of our entrepreneurs struggle with technical assistance and support and understanding that every form that you get from the government needs to be filled out and sent back, because that's how, you know, accountability and transparency is done. But for a community that's an oral society that struggles with reading and writing, someone may not even read that form, and it might be something that says that if you don't return this, your business will be closed within 14 days or some expiration date on their businesses. So I really think that what you guys are doing is fantastic. Thank you, Chair Mahoney, for bringing this bill. Helping individuals become self-sufficient and make their own entrepreneurship dreams come true is the American dream. It's the American way of life, so thank you.
Thank you for your support. Appreciate that.
No, any other members? Any questions? Chair Mahoney, if you wanted to close.
As we're laying this over, we don't need to vote on it, so I won't ask for your vote. What I will tell you and, you know, the future chair at some point, to Representative Robbins' question, these kind of supports are great for a length of time until the organizations develop enough cash flow to pay for it themselves or figure out a way to blend with others. The Hmong Chamber has tried to partner with some of those particular groups. It's been a little frustrating because a substantial number of the entrepreneurs are also semi-recent arrivals, and they their English is even worse than mine. And that's where the problem comes in. And I've actually talked to some of the organizations that tried to help. But at a certain point, I'm a bit uncomfortable trying to do the same here. And next year, I'm sure I'll get a bill for the Somali community or East African community. And I'd be happy to take a look at it and try and do that also. But at a certain point, the chamber has to step up and do it on its own, just as the St. Paul Chamber or the Minnesota Chamber or anybody else does it. So this is a, as far as I'm concerned, it's a limited time, a limited run, so to speak. But I certainly hope that we can lay this over and try to figure out a way to help this particular community move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In my area, we have Mountain Lake, where Hamilton's from. At one time, they had two Hmong grocery stores. I think they still have one. And if that's not on your directory, please put it on there. I think it's very good that we accommodate their needs, even in greater Minnesota, where there's not the population you have here in St. Paul.
So are you saying that we need to get these fellows just like the angel investment tax credit, get outside the 690?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Representative Gunn.
Thank you, members.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Chair Mahoney renews his motion to lay over House File 2731. So thank you so much. We now have House File 2684.
Oh, the baby's here. Oh, right.
These
All right, we have a new chair. Members, we still need to approve the minutes. Has anybody looked at the minutes?
I've looked at the minutes. I think they're great.
All right. So Chair Mahoney moves the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Up next, we have House File 2684. With Representative Daniels. Is it Daniels? Am I saying your name? Daniels, sorry. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Committee, thank you for taking time to listen to this.
Daniels, I'll move House File 2684 to be laid over.
All right. Chair Mahoney moves House File 2684 to be laid over. Representative Daniels, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. You know, hometown of Fairmont, we have an estimated population of about 22,000. 17% of those are of Somali descent, and it's a growing, and they've actually started some businesses in town, and there's a limited amount of areas that they can work. And this bill is basically trying to target women between the ages of 18 and 30 who need to learn the skills to give them an opportunity to get a good job, a living wage. And there's also a lot of barriers involved, anything from, you know, the language, of course, cultural barriers. Adapting to Minnesota is always a stretch for a lot of people who are moving into the area. So in our local area, just give you a little quick update, we've had more industrial expansion than I could even imagine. We've got Fairbolt Foods doubled in size, so it went from about 100 trucks a day to about a little over 200 trucks a day coming and going with product. We've had the Sage Glass expand. We've had Daikin Industry from Japan. They're building a brand new state-of-the-art plant just north of Faribault, about a mile north of Faribault. And it's really growing. Our north side of the industrial park is getting full. So we have a lot of job openings. So what I'm looking for in this bill is to help fill the job shortage. And with that, I'm just going to turn over my testifiers. Better to hear from them than to me. So I'm going to turn it over.
My name is. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Firtun Ismail. I am the founder and executive director of Somali American Women Action, SAWARC. we located in the largest mall, the Somali Mall, in Carmel Mall, and we have our other location area that we do the classes. And Faribault is the other part of that. We do a big classes of the Somali community. And Somali, we pretty much teach the classes by East Africans. There's some Latinos, there's a Somali, majority of them are Somali communities. And the reason that we started this program is we have seen the needs of the community, especially the Somali mothers who have a lot of language barriers, like and I can name it. It can be transportation, it can be a language barrier, it can be mother who is a single mother who is actually a breadwinner of her family. She's a household who is actually running the whole household. So seeing that and struggling for them to find employment, we thought about building and creating some kind of skills that they can gain in order for them to be independent or start their own entrepreneur. So that's what we're doing it. And we have different classes within the Twin Cities. So the main thing that right now we're here is to have a bigger space and more resources that we can help them, because right now we don't have enough space to teach the classes. We have instructors, but then we lack of spaces and we lack of resources. So in order to do that, we need your help to implement these ladies, these women who are struggling for anything that will be helpful in as far as, you know, helping them. Space or, you know, resources. So that's the main point that we're here today.
Thank you. Do we have another testifier?
My name is Leslie Mallory. I hello, committee. I am one of the sewing instructors. I grew up in Lakeville, which was a teeny town of 2,000, so Faribault was huge when I was a kid. It still is. When my brother from L.A. came to visit, recently, we drove to Faribault to go to the Cheese Caves, and he said, wow, I've never seen so many headscarves. And I said, proudly, that's because we have a huge diaspora of Somali people living in this state, and Faribault is one of the areas that they've congregated. And it made me realize that I know or knew very little of the Somali community myself. So when I saw an opportunity in a Nextdoor website to teach sewing to Somali students, I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a try, even though my sewing instructor in high school would have encouraged me not to do that. So I went to meet Fartoon and Ukasha, who I call the dynamic duo. They are just an amazing pair working on behalf of Somali young people. They introduced me to Somali tea. They invited me to a class that Susanna teaches, and I saw that there was a need to start a weekday class. So I went to my church and asked if they would donate space, and they would, but we couldn't keep our supplies there. So I'm limited to 4 sewing machines that I purchased that I carried back and forth to the class. We use all donated fabric from people in my neighborhood. I buy most of the notions that we need. And right now I have 5 students, and I'm determined every week to learn a Somali word, and then I teach them an English word. And this week the word was oops. I was like, oh, that's not going to work. But they it just amazes me what spirit they have and how courageous they are when I ask about their past. And how they have come to assimilate in Minnesota. They hate the winters, but they love the people. So I'm very proud to be part of that, and I do so hope that this funding gets approved so that we have permanent space, better sewing machines, the ability to buy the fabric we need, the patterns we need, and to reach out to more people than we're reaching out to right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mallory. Next is Susan Dowling.
Susanna Dooley.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me here today. I'm very proud to be here. A little less than a year ago, I work for Mortenson Construction. I'm a geologist, and Mortenson is big on giving back to the community. And I got an email that said sewing for Somali women, and I just sent a return email, and that's how this got started for me anyway. So we started out with 4 sewing machines, and we had the room we were in was kind of dirty. It didn't have air conditioning. It didn't have heat, but there were up to like 18 women who came to my classes. And some of them were like 3 to 5 women deep waiting to get to use a sewing machine or else to cut fabric. So we started out with basic sewing, for instance, just sewing a straight line, and that morphed into making baby quilts because obviously you saw a lot of straight lines there. Plus, it was something that people could take home and be proud of. And right now, I also taught them how to buy fabric and how to read a pattern. So to make garments, which was our first thing, was to make pajamas for children. Next, right now, I teach every Saturday morning, and right now we're sewing dresses. And right now we're just basically taking a dress that someone already has, turning it inside out, using that for a pattern. I know that I became successful when the amount of women that came each week grew, and also that people started bringing things from home to repair, to fix, or to sew themselves. And so we've also now started a knitting class as well. I'm not involved in the knitting class, but I just want to say that I feel great when I come back from teaching and from doing this work. But it's not about me, it's about them. And I really, really urge that if you could help us get a better facility and put some more money into the patterns and the fabric and the notions and all the things that we really need, just table space alone. A lot of this I've tried to subsidize myself, but I would really appreciate some help from the community to do this. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Susanna. We have 10 minutes with member questions, so for the next testifier, if you can be very brief, that would be great.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I haven't said that for a long time. Thank you. Again, my name is Ukasha Dekani. I am the executive director of FAYO, an East African-led organization that's working in Minneapolis, especially in the Somali Mall. I am here today in front of this committee as a father, as a brother, as a husband, as a son, and as an ally. I am here to testify and support the House File Number 2684, which is to support the Somali American women in entrepreneurship, in economic empowerment, while it aims to provide support to the Somali-led women ventures, and how they is that prevent them, you know, like to be an economic, you know, like champion. One thing I've realized is that these are women of color. They have been in these communities for a long time. Some of them are new Americans. They have been faced by many barriers. They are thriving and achieving like any one of us in this room today. They are creating their own breakthrough, and they need a lasting support that can support their endeavors. They are once a refugee women who have gone through a lot, who have endured years of pain in refugee camps, who have been faced by many barriers that include language, transportation, and you know, like childcare services, a lot of things when it comes to getting into the U.S. workforce. Some of them have no high school. They speak little English to no English. They are single mothers living in shelters. They are in every sector. And on top of that, they try to thrive. They try to achieve. They try to have the dream and at the same time bring a bread to the table. So what this House File 2684 does is it will give them a space and more resources where they will learn the sewing and apparel construction. They will learn the entrepreneurship and business. A lot of time we complain about having minority-led businesses in our communities. Construction and trade. A lot of Somali women, not only Somali, but a lot of minority and East African women are not introduced to the construction and trade. We have partnered with Goodwill and St. Paul College to do our first cohort of Somali-American women constructors, which Somali-American Women Action Center will be in a better position to help us thrive in that. So Maya Angelou have one time said, people will forget what you have done for them. They will forget what you say, but they will never forget how much you make them feel. I urge every one of you to support the House File 2684 so that these women can create their endeavors, they can thrive. This is a legacy that has been started by Representative Karen Clark after she visited the site of these women. It's a legacy that will remain in each one of you's history. It's a legacy that every one of you will thrive.
Thank you, Mr.
The development.
I don't want to cut you off, but we're very short on time, and I'm sure members have questions.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Member questions? No? All right. Representative Noor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think if you look at the statistics, more than 60% in the East African community, the individuals who are in the workforce are women. They're the ones who, most of them who came here with their young children. If you look at the numbers, there are more women in the workforce, especially in the East African, than the men. So this is an opportunity to send a strong message that the women in the community really matter, and we can provide them the support they need. Thank you so much, Representative Daniel, for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you. Chair Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can someone tell me, what was the dollar figure? That doesn't matter. Where is this more statewide, regional-wide, or specifically to the area down in Faribault? Where does this money go? It
goes to the cities.
I believe there's a handful of locations that we put in there. It's right in the middle, like line 1.12. So Minneapolis, St. Paul, Edina, Burnsville, Faribault. So it stretches mainly in the metro, but we do have some. It's pretty much where the Somali population is in greater percentages. And, there's just such a need there to get these folks plugged in and learn the skills, learn the trade, and get them into the workforce. And that's kind of what this backbone of the bill is about.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But I do advise you there are other pockets around the state that we're going to have to address if we wish to help the I don't want to use the word assimilate, but...
integrate is a better word, Mr. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
As I said, my English isn't all that good either.
I just have a quick question. I am for, you know, women entrepreneurship and self-sufficiency and independence and getting more women in the workforce, but I just have some concerns about teaching them sewing, because sewing is the trade that's going away. It's all done by, right now, you know, big factories. It's mostly done in China. So are we teaching this woman sewing for their own self-sufficiency in their household, or are there actual jobs that they can get that with?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a good question. Actually, there's a lot of jobs out there. Like right now, we partnered with companies, small companies that are willing to hire them. There's a new business called Mothers for Sewing. What they will do is they will help these women sew like fabrics, and then they will buy their own fabrics. And then there's My Pillow Company, which will later on hire them. There's Sewing the Project Regina, which is helping women to hire, which is hiring the women to do the sewing. So it's a commercial sewing that they will be doing it. And it pays $17 an hour. They will work from their own, and it's flexible. You know, like once they learn the skills, it's a really good thing that they can make money out of it to feed their family.
Thank you.
I just want to add one thing. There's actually a new company that we partner with, it, and then they're actually trying to make a billows that has their decorations on it, like the house billows decorations that they decorate on their, a couch or things like that. And they actually want our women that we teach the sewing to do that for them, so they can, when we train that specific billows, then they can sell it to the other whatever online thing. So they want to hire the ladies. Negotiate about the price too, and they said about an hour, we wanted $20 an hour. So it's a great thing, and we actually introduced that lady today to company. She put on Compeer, who is actually running that company, new company, and they, you know, they have her evaluated in India. So it's a huge company. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways that we can employ these ladies, and they can be entrepreneur. And this moment right now, there is other ladies who have been in Susanna's class, and they are in Carmel Mall. She's been selling clothes. She had a small center that to sell clothes. She was just selling clothes. And then when she joined the Susanna class, she stayed only 2 weeks. And the third week, we give her a machine that she can, you know, she asked us if she can have a machine so that she can start, you know, like people who come around and buy the clothes for her, she can sew for them and make ready for them. So she said she makes a day about 140, which she was not making before from her own whatever she was selling before. So there's a lot of great things that women can do about this. It's not only sewing at home, or, you know, it's not like a personal thing. They can make
things out. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Daniels, you have last words?
I just, committee and Madam Chair, I'm just happy that we could present House File 2684, and appreciate your consideration for possible inclusion.
Thank you. And Ms. Mallory, be careful on the Somali tea. It's very, very sweet. Lots of sugar in that. Representative Mahoney, would you like to renew your motion that House File 2684 be laid over?
Yes, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you guys for testifying. And since we don't have any other committee business, we got the minutes. We're adjourned.